Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey everyone, you're listening to North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Amanda here with my friend and colleague Tim, and we are highlighting one of the best economic developers in the profession, Larry Burkhart.
Yeah, it was great talking to Larry. Larry is Executive Vice President of the Fox Cities Regional Partnership there in Wisconsin. He really has a heart and a passion for community building, bringing groups together both locally, regionally, and at the national level to accomplish his goals around economic development. His passion and expertise are clear to hear as we had the conversation. He had some previous experience with the Nevada County Economic Resource Council, and he has been working on behalf of the growth of jobs and community and economic development for some time now. He's very involved in his community. It's obvious that he's passionate about economic development and the Fox Cities partnership. And it was a pleasure to talk to another one of the top economic developers in the field. I'm sure that you'll learn something about passion for economic development and bringing people together when you hear my conversation with Larry. So let's hear it now. Larry Burkhart, we're so happy to have you on the podcast today. Congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it very much.
We're so glad to have you. I would like our listening audience to get a view into who you are as a person. Tell us one thing everyone should know about you.
Well, I come from a background that shares some public sector as well as private sector experience, and I think that positions me fairly well for doing economic development. I served 11 years as a mayor and a council member in Colorado, so I have that perspective, and then over 20 years of direct experience in the economic development field.
So, Larry, I have to ask the question, how did you get to the career in economic development? You went from a mayor, which some would argue is an economic development position if there's ever been one. How did you find economic development, or how did the industry find you?
It's somewhat of a long story, but I'll try and condense it a little bit here. I was trying to do my own business without having any real expertise at it. And I went to a friend of mine who was an accountant at the time, with the idea that I needed to get a bank loan to expand this fledgling little company, and I needed his advice on how to position myself with a bank in order to achieve this. And he looked at me across the desk, and he says, "You're an idiot. You don't need a bank loan. You need to get yourself a damn job." And there happened to have been, very true, one of the more influential folks in my life.
Great.
There happened to be an opening at the time for the president of our Economic Development Corporation. I happened to sit on the board of directors at that group as well. He said, "You need to apply for that position." I thought, well, there's no way I can reasonably present myself as being qualified. But I did put in an application and, of course, was not selected for the job. But a few months after that, the individual who was hired as president contacted me and said, "I'd like to talk with you about coming on as my vice president." And so that's how I ended up with my first position in economic development back in 1991.
Wow. And you've been serving this industry and communities ever since. Let's continue kind of on this path with you, Larry. Tell us how you define success for yourself as a leader. You've been in the game a while now. And success has changed, right? And that's a moving target. But tell us how you define it for yourself. And then currently with the Fox Cities Regional Partnership, how do you define success for that organization?
I need to provide a little bit of context in order to explain the rationale for my answer. This
Sure.
is a very unique kind of community. It's very successful over a long period of time. It has a heritage industry around paper that has sustained it for many, many decades. And as a result of that, it has not seen a dramatic economic decline within its history. As a result, it's become somewhat complacent around economic development. And so when you ask, how do I define success for myself and a leader for this organization, I would have to say that my biggest challenge And the biggest measure of success that I could assign to this would be the ability for me to mobilize the community, not just me, but the team that we have, mobilize the community around the need to really address in an aggressive fashion ongoing job creation, get them to understand the fact that this is truly a competitive endeavor, that we do have assets, but they're not going to market themselves, and that we have to do a much better job of promoting ourselves in order to sustain that kind of an image around being a desirable place to locate a business.
So you talked about the paper industry and about the kind of the, I would just even say the challenges of success, right? That if you have an industry that grows and has its growth pattern continuing, it's kind of hard to say, hey, we need to be aggressive. Tell us about what you've been learning from your successes or your failures, quite frankly, right? You talked about growing that diversity. Talk a little bit about the lessons you're learning.
Well, I think one of the things that we're struggling with right now is positioning ourselves to be perceived as an attractive location for more diversification within our industry mix. The reality is that we are 22% of our workforce is engaged in manufacturing here, compared with 9% nationally. Now, that by itself tells you a great deal. It says that the area has everything it needs to sustain manufacturing activity. And we by no means want to minimize that. In fact, we market that very heavily. But in the process, we need to also take a step back and try and figure out how do we market ourselves effectively for the jobs of the future around technology. And I'll give you one example. We did have a very, very successful technology entrepreneur visit us about a year or so ago and was evaluating the Appleton, Wisconsin marketplace for his company that he had grown to, I believe, if I remember correctly, somewhere along the line of 200 positions within a year and a half. So very, very successful. And he took about a day to evaluate this marketplace. We introduced him to young entrepreneurs. We took him to the local university, had lunch. We walked him through the dominant downtown that we have in this area and overall tried to give him the sense that this was an area that would be attractive to young professionals. And we caught word, actually, in a follow-up call a few weeks later. I reconnected with the gentleman and asked what more he needed from our area to make the decision to locate his company here. And he said, well, I'm glad you called. I was going to give you a call here shortly, but we've made the determination that we're going to locate the company in New York City. Mm. So quite a bit different, but the decision being made on the ability to engage young professionals in a lifestyle that they felt was dynamic, exciting, and so forth, the Midwest just wasn't going to work for him. So one of the lessons that I think we learned from that is the fact that we have to try and understand first and foremost who we are, who our target markets are most reasonably going to be, and to try and be effective in attracting the type of persons that are going to be comfortable here, be successful here, and find this type of lifestyle one that they can sustain for a good bit of time.
Wow, what an impactful lesson. You know, one of the big benefits of this podcast and honoring the top 50 economic developers in North America is we get to glean from your wisdom. And one side of leadership and economic development is this, you know, kind of the project base, right? What are the strategies that you use? The other side is, as a leader, what do you do? So I want to kind of ask the same question, but for your leadership. If there's a leadership lesson that you've gained over time in this industry, what have you learned? What would be the one big leadership lesson you would share with our listening audience?
Well, that one message, I think, would center around the notion of technical skills. I think when you go in for a job interview, when you look at developing your professional skills and so forth, the technical side of things is what we tend to emphasize. Am I able to understand the needs of the client and have access to the tools and so forth? Well, not to underestimate the technical skills. I think it's critical and more important that we understand that the ability to perceive and respond to the signals, the needs, the agendas of the folks that you work with, and what they're sending you in terms of messages is much more important actually, than your technical skills, because it's these perceptual talents, the ability to dodge landmines with leadership and some of the peers that you're going to be working with, that will actually put you or maintain you in a position where you're able to apply those technical skills. So the technical side of things by itself isn't going to assure any level of success within the economic development field. This is definitely a relationship business, and you have to be sensitive and aware of the fact that your true ability to succeed in economic development is going to depend much more heavily on how you're able to deal with people.
Sure. There's no question about it, and we agree with you wholeheartedly. We're going to get you out of here on this question, Larry. As you look into the future of our industry, what do you feel will be the most important thing for communities and economic developers to focus on?
I think what's going to be most important there is that policy decisions are going to have to be made within the context of whether that particular policy is going to promote job creation within the community. The jobs market is going to continue to become more and more competitive, and we will have winners and losers as communities as we go forward due to some of the demographic realities that we face as a nation. And so all of our policymakers, whether it happens to be a city council, a school board, a state senate or whatever, those policy decisions have to be measured against whether or not this new policy is going to sustain, support, or degrade the ability of a community to attract new jobs into that area.
Sure. Policy is a necessary part of our business, and you give us great insights on that. Larry, congratulations on all the great work you're doing there in Wisconsin with the Fox Cities Regional Partnership. Thank you for taking your time with us today, and most of all, congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you very much, Tim. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.